Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Today's show is sponsored by Mrs. Mary Arslanian. Let us start our program and our day with a prayer from the tradition of the Armenian Church. All merciful God, you taught us humans to forgive those who trespass against us and to pray for them. I beseech you, forgive those who hate me and show them your mercy. Soften their hearts and open their spiritual eyes to see your commandments. Raise in their hearts your love and your humility so that they may change their ways and turn towards the truth of your commandments and words, and may they be worthy of your good rewards here in this life and the afterlife. Amen. Next Sunday, we will have a busy afternoon here at St. Sarkis Church because right after church services, Molly Sullivan from the Near East Relief Historical Society will be lecturing on remembering the past and investing in the future. I had the opportunity to give Molly a phone call. Take a listen to what she had to say. Joining me today on the phone is Miss Molly Sullivan. She is the director and curator of Near East Relief Historical Society of the Near East Foundation. And she will be with us on Sunday, January 18th, following church services here at St. Sarkis, to present a very interesting topic titled The Near East Relief Historical Society, Remembering the Past, Investing in the Future. Molly, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. We are looking forward and we are excited to have you with us on January 18th. Can you tell our listeners briefly about the nature of your speech?
Sure. The Near East Relief Historical Society is a new educational initiative of the Near East Foundation, and we're focused on educating the public, both Armenian and non-Armenian in background, about the history of our organization, the history of the Armenian genocide, and also the history of American involvement, especially American philanthropic involvement, in the aftermath of the Armenian genocide. So I will be speaking about the history of our organization, focusing on the early history from 1915 to 1930, and also speaking a bit about the modern work that the Near East Foundation is still doing all over the world.
Right. The Near East Foundation have been very influential. And for us Armenians who are commemorating the centennial of the genocide, we know that the efforts of the Near East Foundation were crucial in trying to save as many Armenian lives as possible during and especially after the genocide. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think that one of the most important things to note about the Near East Relief's early efforts was that at the time, in the early 1900s, charity and philanthropy were seen as things that happen on either a very, very large scale, wealthy business people donating large sums of money, or on a very small local scale. For example, a person giving money to their church congregation. And Near East Relief really brought giving and philanthropy into a wider sphere by teaching the American people that they could help people on the other side of the world to lead better lives by giving whatever they were able to give, whether that was a small amount of money or artistic talent to design posters and signs, or organizational talent to put together different events to help raise money or gather supplies to support the Near East Relief orphanages.
Sounds like we need to revive that in our communities.
We would certainly like to see that revived.
So I would like to invite all of our parishioners and all of our listeners to be part of this speech on Sunday the 18th. This is something that with your presentation, actually, we're kicking the series of events that will help us to commemorate the Armenian genocide in the year of 2015. And we are really excited to have you with us to present the first speech on this topic. Molly, we look forward to seeing you on January the 18th. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Right after the lecture, we will have our first meeting with the Young Adults Bible Study Group. There's an email circulating already with registration forms. Please take a minute to register. I'm hoping to see a large number of people attending our first Bible study here on Sunday. Today, I will be chatting with a young talent, with Anush Bhadasaryan, who is the author of Found, a play about the genocide. Anush, welcome to the podcast. First off, I would like you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Who is Anush Bhadasaryan?
I'm 19 years old, and I go to college in California. I go to Claremont McKenna College, where I'm a sophomore right now, currently studying psychology and literature and human rights in an effort to go to law school. However, I was born and raised in New York, and my whole life I've gone to Holy Martyrs, the Armenian church in Bayside. I've gone to the Sunday school there, and that's been the biggest influence on raising awareness about the culture and everything to all those around me.
So Anush Bhadasaryan is a member of the Armenian community here in New York, and you say that Found, the play, is about the genocide. So why don't you tell us about Found?
So I wrote this when I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school. And Found is a historical fiction play about a woman's experience through the Armenian genocide.
Tell me, what inspired you to write Found?
I've grown up in Great Neck, New York for most of my life. And in middle school, around 7th or 8th grade, I realized that many of my friends knew about the Holocaust, but not many of them knew about what the genocide was. And so I had learned about it in Sunday school, and every April we'd always read literature on it and talk about it. So I knew a lot about it, and my family always spoke about it, but my peers didn't. So in eighth grade, I went to my social studies classes, and I asked the professor, the teacher, can I do a presentation about the genocide? And he said, sure, of course.
So you took the initiative to make a presentation?
Yes. I had learned that Hitler said, when he was planning the extermination of the Polish Jews, he said, after all, who today remembers the annihilation of the Armenians? And I thought that was very interesting, that if the genocide had been more well known and people knew about it more and there was more action taken about it, maybe Hitler wouldn't have been so quick to commit his atrocity that he did. So if we learn from history, perhaps we can prevent things in the future. I thought, you know, this could be a really great way for me to teach my peers about it just by doing a presentation.
How did you make that transition from making a presentation into writing a play?
Every year in high school, I went to this New York Educational Theater Festival with my theater troupe in high school. And I had taken all the acting classes I wanted to, and by my senior year, there were no more acting workshops I'd wanted to take, so I took a playwriting workshop. And at this playwriting workshop, they gave us a prompt, and they said, okay, write a monologue in response to this prompt. My monologue ended up being a girl speaking to her therapist or a friend, I wasn't sure, speaking about her, how she feels alone, but how she likes being alone, and how she lives with this guilt that she's still alive, and that she has nothing left. And after
that sounds pretty dark.
Yeah. So after I read it, you know, I thought this would be a great speech for somebody from the genocide. And so for my creative writing class in high school, I decided, you know, why not just write the first scene of this play? And I wrote out the first scene. My creative writing teacher really loved it, encouraged me to write more. My drama teacher thought it was wonderful, encouraged me to keep writing more. And so over my December break, I wrote the rest of the play, and the play was finished from the end of October to the end of January. So in those few months, I wrote the play.
So what did you do with the play after you finished writing it?
So I went to the Great Neck Library, and they have an arts center in the basement of the library. It's a culture and arts center, and they have a theater. And so I went to the library and I said, is there a way that I can put on the play maybe this coming spring in Levels, is what it's called. Levels is the arts center at the basement of the library. So I went to Levels and asked if I could put on the play, and they said, of course. So I got my cast, and I got I auditioned people, got a cast. We rehearsed in my house for about 5 weeks.
Anush, tell me, how was the play received?
We had a discussion after the play, a panel, and a lot of them in the panel would encourage me to continue my efforts in raising awareness about the genocide, to take this play and continue presenting it wherever I go.
Did you listen to their advice?
Yeah, so when I went to California for college, I went to the Human Rights Center at my college, and I said, you know, I'd like to put on this play maybe by my senior year. You know, I thought maybe I can put it on in a few years after I get acclimated to the college. And they said, no, you know what? This is a great topic. Let's put it on in April. And so the college was very encouraging, and I put it on at my college. I got money from the college, from a scholarship from the college next door to me, Pomona College, and they have wanted me to put it on at their college as well. So I think just the really great encouragement that I got from the public here in Great Neck in New York really inspired me to continue with this play and to continue with my efforts to raise awareness about the genocide through this educational yet entertaining manner.
I commend you for doing that, because this is what I want our listeners to concentrate, that each and every individual can make a difference. You know, and Anush, you're a perfect example of that. On Thursday, January 8th, you had a book signing at Barnes & Noble in Manhasset. And I'm very humbled that today you also got me a copy of your book and you signed it for me. And since we have the book here in our hands, why don't you read something to our listeners?
Sure. Is it fair to my mother and my sister if I forget my pain? If I go on living a happy new life, will they be able to do the same? Why do I deserve not to suffer if they have? Old Lucien says, Guyana, I am not encouraging you to forget your pain. You'll always remember what happened, but you were lucky. You survived. Now do something with that life you were blessed to keep. And Guyana says, Lucien, not all of us are lucky enough to occupy themselves with something meaningful, to be searching for a brother. You always tell me that it's not easy to be alone and that you are miserable alone. Well, I am happy alone. You have the hope that one day you will find your brother, that one day he will come back to you and you will be a happy family again. I can never look forward to any of that happening. All of my family is dead and they will never return. Be more considerate when telling me what to do, because you think you know what's best for me, but you don't. You have always thought you knew what was best for me, and you have always been wrong. When you saved me from dying, you were wrong. I have no one left, Lucine. Old Lucine says, and who do I have, Guyana? For all I know, Rafi is dead. 10 years is a long time. I keep telling myself it's not, but it is. And if he really is training the Turkish troops, then he may as well be dead, because he'll never come back to me if he believes he is Turkish. And a mother. Oh, how wonderful it would be to have someone wrap their arms around you. Where is my mother? Gone. Not here. Dead. The last time she wrapped her arms around someone was when she grabbed at that Turkish soldier's neck, Enver, trying at some form of self-defense, hoping she could hurt him before he killed her, trying to save us. She failed, as did my father. Everyone else is dead. Where is my family? I am just like you. I too have been alone. Maybe I have that small bit of hope that Rafi is alive, but so what? Ahmed said he heard that Rafi was helping train the army. Hearing something is different from knowing something. If he wanted to come back by now, he would have found a way. I bet he's dead too. Part of this inspiration for that scene also came from going to the Armenian old age home and speaking to some of the survivors there. And one of the survivors, when I was speaking to her, she said, why are you still doing this? Forget about it. It happened already. Stop trying. You know, not exactly those words. It's something like that.
I think sometimes when we talk about the genocide, we just say 1.5 million Armenians were killed. And sometimes it sounds like just like a number. But when you start telling individual stories, and I understand this might be fictional, but I bet that a lot of people suffered through what your characters are suffering in the play. It helps bring awareness that it's not just a number that we're talking about, but we're talking about individuals, we're talking about people. And that is very, very important. Anush, before I let you go, I would like to ask you, what is your message to high school students who might be, you know, who might have some similar opportunities that like you had when you were in high school?
To high schoolers and any other person out there, I would just say to put yourself out there, to take the initiative, you know, ask your schools, can I give a presentation about this? Can we show a documentary? Things like that, not just the Armenian genocide, but just to put yourself out there and take initiative. That's the most important thing.
Found is the name of the book. Where can people get this book from?
Online at Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. And they can also find it at exlibris.com, which is a publishing company. And also, it's in ebook format. So it's in the print book format and ebook.
Anush, thank you very much. I wish you best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today, the Armenian Church celebrates the feast of St. John the Baptist. In our tradition, he is called John the Forerunner, Hovanu Garabet, because the unique role that he was given to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, before doing the Bible reading today, I would like to congratulate everyone who bears the name John or Hovannes. As we say in Armenian, Tser Anunov Abrink. Today's Gospel reading is about the birth of St. John the Baptist, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for the writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. The word of the Lord. This is a reading that tells us about the birth of St. John the Baptist. But we need to read more, probably the entire chapter, the first chapter from the Gospel of Luke, to see that how John was a child of promise, a child that God gave for the parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah. And this child had a special mission to prepare the way for the Lord. Some of you who don't know the story probably are wondering why the father was not able to speak. He was muted because he doubted the word of God. He doubted the promise of God. And he was not a regular person. He was a priest. He was a person who knew God well. But when God gave him a promise that he would have a child, he doubted. And as a result, he ceased speaking until the day that his son was born. And when he fulfilled the promise by naming his son John, his speech was restored. And we know from the gospel that John really became that important person, inviting people to be baptized and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. The role of John is important because he comes to us with the spirit of a prophet from the Old Testament, but in the church he is considered a saint. Therefore, today is a very unique day in the life of the church because we celebrate the life of a prophet and a saint. A saint that is near and dear to the hearts of the Armenians, and we pray for the intercessions of St. John the Baptist. Today's hymn is called Hokiasuzo from the Divine Liturgy of our church. This is the Gomidasian version, something that I like very much, and I hope you also will like listening to. I'd like to thank our good friend, Mrs. Mary Arslanian, for sponsoring the show. I also would like to thank my producer, Greg Dostur. If you like the show, tell your friends, tell your family members to listen to it. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.